Chapter 20. Center Point Station, Fire Control Chamber. Smoke filled the air, pooling against the ceiling and being battered in various directions by breezes from air vents. Technicians, unused to immediate action, fumbled with fire suppressors. One leapt away from his station as his keyboard suddenly glowed red. Flames licked up through it, consuming its keys. Admiral Delpin moved from station to station, issuing orders, forcing technicians back into seats, or shooing them out of chairs too near burning and sparking control boards as the situation warranted. And all the while, Prime Minister Koyun stood where he was, bellowing in ever-escalating volume,
"What happened? What happened? What happened?"
Denjak Stepler caught his arm.
"They don't know yet, sir. You're not helping."
"I don't have to help. I'm the Criffing Five Worlds Prime Minister. I want answers."
"Answers don't exist yet."
Tepler's voice was low, but there was a trace of Durasteel in his words.
"You'll get your answers faster if you stop interfering."
Koyun stared at him as if debating whether to bite off the top of his skull, but nodded and shut up. A moment later, Delpin directed one of the technicians over to the knot of politicians. The man, yellow-skinned, bearded, with long hair in a braid and a patch of soot discoloring the left side of his face, offered Koyun an awkward salute.
"Sir, the weapon fired."
"Are you sure?"
The man nodded.
"But the system overloaded. Getting past the old security interlocks, the way the system imprinted on Anakin Solo all those years ago, so that only he could fire it, has been problematic. So we fired the system, and it punished us."
Koyun shook his head.
"I don't get it."
The technician paused, struggling for a way to explain it to the politician.
"Think of the station as a body. It has a brain. We are a second brain trying to take over the body, and the first brain is resisting. We take over an area, and the brain retaliates by doing something to foul us up. In this case, we assumed control of the trigger finger, and when we fired, to retaliate, to mess us up, it stuck its thumb in our eye."
"Oh."
Koyun nodded, clearly believing that he understood some of that.
"So we fired it. What happened at the other end?"
"No way to know until we get some eyewitness reports. There's a thumb in our eye, remember?"
Admiral Delpin moved toward them.
"We've lost all contact with the decoy fleet. Their holocoms are not responding to our queries, not even automated pings. That suggests they were all wiped out. And if they were..."
"The Alliance vessels were, too."
Koyun nodded and mopped his brow again.
"Good. I hope you're right. How soon before we can fire again?"
The technician shrugged.
"Unknown. Part of that thumb in our eye looks like power system overloads, and the targeting may have to be recalibrated, which means re-entering a lot of star data. Days? A few weeks?"
"Get on it."
Koyun turned away and marched to the door, escaping through it into the fresher air of the hallway beyond. His retinue followed him, all but Tepler. He raised his voice to be heard over the chaos.
"Ladies, gentlemen, the office of the Prime Minister thanks you for all your hard work. You've done extremely well."
He gave them a raised fist gesture of support and enthusiasm, then turned to follow Koyun. Admiral Delpin stood before him. she whispered so only he could hear.
You're an accomplished liar, but I mean that in a good way.
He gave her a half-smile.
Thank you. When Fenner finds out...
He'll roast us with words alone.
Anything I can do to take some heat off you?
Just make it clear to him that I was following orders. And I take them from the Corellian government, not from the Confederation Supreme Military Commander.
She glanced in the direction Coyen had gone, and was not completely able to keep an expression of distaste from crossing her face.
I'll do that.
And if we've killed Jason Solo and crippled the Second Fleet, it was worth every bit of burn.
Tepler nodded in agreement.
Good luck.
You too.
Aboard the Anakin Solo. The Anakin Solo, its hangars stuffed with surviving starfighters from not only its complement, but also those of several Second Fleet vessels, its hyperdrive damaged by the gravity-wrenching effect of the attack, limped back into Coruscant space. Kytus paced the bridge, not having slept since the catastrophe. He wanted to spend every moment with Alana, to be there for her when she awakened from the deep sleep that had claimed her. But he could not. To be away from his duties for so long would alert his crew that he had other priorities. He could not have them asking questions, not even as loyal a crew as he commanded. The enemy had made Center Point Station's primary weapon operational, and had used it to try to kill him. Him, personally. It was a tribute. They knew he was the most significant individual in the galaxy, the one person who could lead the Alliance to victory. They had panicked, and they had failed to kill him. But without knowing it, they had tried to kill Alana. They would pay for that. Everyone who had supported Corellia during this action would die, or end up stamping out bits of Alliance trooper armor in a prison workshop, or be fed to Rancors. Captain Neville approached. The Quarren was as upright and formidable-looking as ever, but the skin of his face and mouth tentacles was paler than usual.
Sir, we're in planetary orbit. I'd like to transmit a request for permission to take a berth at the orbital shipyards. Get repairs underway immediately.
Kytus glanced at him.
Granted.
Admiral Neothel has sent a request that you meet with her immediately at the Senate building.
No. I'd be away when Alana wakes.
I can't leave the Anakin Solo at a time like this. Reply that we can have a meeting here, or by holocom.
Yes, sir.
It occurred to Kytus that there was something he should have asked before now, something he had not. What was it? Oh, yes.
Krall. In the force we lost, did you have any family?
Yes, sir.
Neville seemed to sag just a centimeter, then straightened.
My son, Turl. An ensign. A weapons officer aboard the frigate Chismir.
I'm sorry.
Kytus tried to feel sorry. Tried to remember that Turl was to Neville as Alana was to him. But that mathematical equation was as close as he could come. Turl Neville was a nobody. And now he was a nobody, twisted and compressed by unimaginable gravitational forces into a tiny spot in space. Still, Kytus managed to keep an expression of sympathy fixed on his face. Neville apparently accepted it as such.
Thank you, sir.
He turned away, walking stiffly to return to his duties. The meeting took place in Kytus's private office. Again, Admiral Neofel stood and paced, while Kytus, imperturbable, sat.
The Second Fleet is a shambles.
Neofel's voice was deeper than usual, its pitch lowered by emotion. Kytus nodded.
The flagship, Blue Diver, was lost, and Fleet Admiral Limpin with her.
Well, she wasn't all that spectacular an admiral anyway, was she?
I know. It's a disaster. I told you it was a trap. We just had no conception of the scope of the trap. Lure me out into open space, send up some derelict warships with skeleton crews to hold me in place for a few moments, and then fire the biggest gun in the universe at us. It had the elegance of simplicity.
How did you survive?
Kytus sighed, then mentally trotted out the story he'd spent some time working up.
During my discussions with Captain Hawklaw, I felt a presentiment in the Force, a realization that part of the plan, a sideline to it, was that an elite unit was coming to retrieve the Hapen Princess Alana. That's what the Jedi Solo was there for. Once she escaped my security team, I retrieved the girl from her holding area and took her out in a starfighter to lure the retrieval team to me. The team consisted of Jedi in stealth X's. To my surprise, they were willing to kill me and let the little girl die too. So I admit I underestimated their priorities a bit. Still, I had no problem eluding them until the primary wave of relief arrived, a squadron of starfighters, and drove them off. I'd ordered the Anakin Solo to follow the starfighters, which is why it was away from the engagement zone when the center point weapon fired.
Ah!
Neofel gave him a that-makes-sense nod.
You're lucky.
Yes.
We need all our leaders to be lucky.
I agree.
We just lost a lot of unlucky commanders and ships we cannot replace. The Corellians traded us a flying junkyard for modern ships of the line. Confederation military strength may exceed ours now. With Center Point Station active, it certainly does.
Kytus smiled. Admiral, we've just won this war. That soft-spoken assertion stopped Neofel in the midst of her pacing.
Say that again.
The Corellians just handed us the trillion-credit game prize, the solution to our problems. We've won.
How?
We go to the Corellian system and take Center Point Station from them. And then we point it at anyone we choose.
Neothel's skin darkened, a color change Kytus suspected was similar to a blush or a flush of anger.
Ah! I had not realized that it was so simple. Shall I pack a lunch?
Kytus waved her sarcasm away.
After Ben and I disabled Center Point, it wasn't worth the loss we'd sustain if we devoted all our forces to take it. And at the time, we wouldn't have been willing to use it immediately. But now, if we mount a major naval offensive at the moment they think our navy is at its weakest, we can take it.
And now we have the will to use it. You and I, we are that will. The Admiral stood there for long moments, once again studying him, her own face inscrutable.
Do you have a plan?
I will by tomorrow. Neathel nodded. She turned and left.